Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Yes, my name is Mike Riley. You know me as the Sarge on 98.5 The Sports Hub. For those of you that like me, you get a Sarge salute. For those of you that don't, you get a dishonorable discharge. And now, let me turn it over to my esteemed colleague, Mr. James Stewart III. Jimmy, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm not a third by any means, and that includes weight and name and all that stuff. Not a third. But what I did realize, Mike, this week is that I have more heat than I actually thought that I had. And what I mean by that is my body temperature, my actual body heat, can increase another human being's body temperature. And it's actually one of the cooler things that I found out. But you want to talk about people with heat and nuclear heat? Like, that's me. That is 100% me. I want to tell you something I'm really hot about off the top here.
Let's hear it.
I hate these WWE fans now. We just watched Extreme Rules, not together in the same room, in separate rooms. You know, you're in Huntsville, Alabama. I'm in Houston, Texas. And this crowd tonight in Kurt Angle's hometown was terrible. Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler had an awesome Iron Man match. Great storytelling in the main event. This crowd blew, okay? Seth and Dolph were in the main event. This is what the hardcore fan wants. This is what a good portion of the WWE universe pays their money and claims they want to see. And what did you do? You counted down the clock like it was the Royal Rumble match. That's what you did. So if Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley went on last, would you have walked out? Is that what you have done? Is that because they're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep giving you Roman Reigns in a main event. But what this proves to me, because Seth and Dolph, I think, should have been the main event. Me, the hardcore wrestling fan, would have liked that match as the main event or the WWE Championship because, you know, tradition, the champion goes on last, whether it's the Universal Champion, more on that later, or the WWE Champion. Like, I would like that to go on last. But if you're telling me the best match is Dolph and Seth, I'm fine. I'll buy that. I enjoyed it. Great storytelling. But the fans who whine and complain about Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns main eventing WrestleMania, SummerSlam, whatever the show is, shows in different countries, like, you have now lost your right to play that call, that card. You're now wasting your money to go play with beach balls and chant CM Punk in New Orleans. You can't ask for nice things anymore because we don't deserve nice things. So now Vince McMahon is going to see that and be like, see, guys, we can't do Dolph versus Seth because they count down with the clock. They're not paying attention either. So when they give you Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, waste your money on it, guys. Every fan in there who doesn't want to see that match, waste your money. Like, or you know what? Here's an idea. Give it to me. I'd like some more money. I'd like to pay off my mortgage. I'd like to buy some nice things with it. You know, actually use your money to go to a WWE show and enjoy the show, because that's what I do. I go there, I have fun, I chant things, but I don't disrespect the performers in the ring, or at least I try not to. Maybe I do. I just disrespect them to their face and call them average athletes, but I digress. But bottom line, I'm really starting to dislike the WWE fan these days. Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler deserved better than the live crowd counting down the clock. That's what they deserve better. They told a fabulous story. They deserved way better than that. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, and Jimmy, a very hot take there. Wow, you're right. The body temperature is very hot. It's hot, coming all the way here to on me here out of the district with you. But I'll tell you, you're right. And something I really noticed why Kurt Angle had to come out there in that main event, that was, and he had to put the cheap pop over right here tonight in Pittsburgh. And yes, that got the crowd back into it when he had to say the city's name there, the old Mick Foley cheap pop there for whatever city they're in. And that was disrespectful to that main event there. The Pittsburgh crowd, failure, absolute flunk. You know, and that was two great performers, like you said. They changed it up, and I think good for Dolph Ziggler, though. I mean, he's getting this push here.
Oh, I love that Dolph won. It's fabulous that Dolph Ziggler won.
Yeah, and this is a great rival. We've been talking about this, you and I, for a few weeks now. This is going to carry right into SummerSlam, and now the whole Drew McIntyre thing. So to put that on the main stage right there and to have their fans you know, slap vinegar in the wound on like that, that's unacceptable. So that would also piss me off, too, and that just makes the WWE Universe not look good there from that standpoint. I'm with you.
And the thing that I hear from fans all the time is, we don't want Roman Reigns in the main event. We're sick of Brock Lesnar. So they give you an alternative, and the live crowd is just dumping on it, right? Yeah. So to all the fans who are like, oh, we want Kenny Omega in WWE. We want Okada in WWE. We want these really nice things, these really good workers. Well, apparently you don't, because you just disrespect them. And there are so many things in this world that you can spend your money on. If you're going to spend your money to go to a show and not enjoy it, then give me your money. I will gladly take all of your money, and I will buy nice things for myself with your money, because it's stupid. It's sick. And I'm really frustrated with the WWE fan who claims they want X, Y, and Z. And now you're getting X, Y, and Z, and either you're not watching it or you're being disrespectful to it. I mean, Vince took down the clock at one point, and I could see him yelling, damn it, take down the clock. They're counting against it. This isn't the Royal Rumble.
And they absolutely just threw fuel on Vince McMahon's fire.
And everybody who's like, oh, push Dolph Ziggler. Oh, Dolph Ziggler's the next Shawn Michaels. You just got a signature win, and what did you do? You counted down the clock. And for the people who are Seth Rollins fans, and I know many of them, and Seth Rollins has been the MVP of the Raw brand this year. He's in a main event.
Let's not forget, Jimmy, this is the same Pittsburgh crowd and the same Pittsburgh fans who booked a trip to New Orleans back in February of 2002 before the Patriots went in there to spoil it. So they're exactly not the smartest tools in the drawer. So let's look at it that way as well, all right?
Well, so I'll get over that. I'll get through that. But again, donations at I am James Stewart on Twitter.
Yes.
And if you want to throw me 80% and Sarge 20%, it's Sarge985 on Twitter.
Blue check mark.
So, Mike, the obvious clear lead story is Charlotte Flair will be back in the ring full time in 3 weeks. I know everybody's excited about that. I couldn't resist doing that. Don't even acknowledge that. That's my attempt at a cheap pop from the crowd. The clear top story is Hulk Hogan is back in WWE after a 3-year suspension. Overall, I think Hulk Hogan has done more good than bad in his life. Yes, the word, the language, everything that was filmed was bad. It was terrible. But how long are you going to penalize somebody for something? Right. And look, it's a big one. I'm not challenging the degree of sin here. But at some point, we have to move forward with our lives. And I think that Hulk Hogan's body of work has shown that he has done more good than bad. Mike, do you think Hulk should have been reinstated? And what do you think about him being reinstated?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's the old thing that the old saying, Jimmy, time heals all wounds, okay? And this has been, what, 3 or 4 years now, more
3 years suspension, yeah.
3 years, yeah. But, okay, so I thought that Hogan would have been back at WrestleMania in New Orleans.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, I really thought that's where it would have happened. But, you know, maybe this is – and then someone actually put it out on Twitter tonight during – the show that don't be surprised if he does show up here tonight at Extreme Rules. It had me thinking. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. However, though, it makes sense to have him, you know, make that announcement now. Your next pay-per-view is the second biggest one on the calendar, and it's coming up next month, and it's in New York, and you can start the promotion for WrestleMania. You can almost have him as like an ambassador to start pushing WrestleMania for SummerSlam. Public relations purposes, perfect example why Hogan is back today. He'll be back at SummerSlam next month.
So I think you've hit something there, is that I think they're going to have Hulk Hogan be an ambassador. And it could be that you don't ever see him on television.
Right.
Except for some big spot. But I think he's just going to be on the WWE payroll. And he's going to go to the Boys and Girls Clubs, and he's going to go here, there, and everywhere and be like, hey, look, I screwed up. I've been forgiven, and this is what I'm doing. But I think it's good that WWE has put him back on the payroll.
And also, looking ahead, too, Jimmy, just looking ahead, you know, we talked about this a few episodes ago when it became all official that SmackDown is moving to Fox.
They need all the star power they can get.
Exactly, on a Friday night. So don't be surprised if he could be a general manager there or something along the lines for that there on a Friday night. Hulk Hogan, are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Hulk is part of that show in Australia. And it could that the Australian people had requested Hulk Hogan make an appearance, and WWE has to do it this far in advance to make sure that the backlash, which I'm interested in, by the way, if there's any backlash from sponsors, I'm sure that these conversations have already been had, but be interesting to see if certain sponsors pull out because of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, and it just seemed like it was going to happen sooner than later, too, especially after he was at the Andre the Giant.
Which I believe WWE premiere. Funded.
Correct. They did. They flew him out there and all that. So it just seemed like it was only a matter of time, and here we are. So he'll be at SummerSlam, no doubt.
I would think more the Australia show, but SummerSlam wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. I think the other big story right now is, Mike, we have found Brock Lesnar.
Oh,
we have
my
found
gosh.
The Universal Champion, and you know where he is? He was in a UFC ring a few weeks ago.
Yep.
So according to Meltzer, on July 3rd, he put his name into the UFC drug testing pool, so he will be eligible to fight in January if he passes everything. Mm-hmm. So usually, UFC has a pay-per-view a weekend in January in Boston.
Right.
And so I reached out to somebody today and actually asked. I asked, do you think Brock Lesnar will be on the UFC show at TD Garden? Quote, tough one. I think no, unquote. But further along in the text conversation, it was also mentioned to me that Dana has a soft spot for Boston. Mm-hmm. So it might be that Brock Lesnar's return is saved for Las Vegas, which is where they do all the big fights. But I put in a small percentage chance that TD Garden might get Brock Lesnar's return UFC fight, and they'd sell it out.
Oh, without question. Funny you said that with that. I don't know if you and I have the same source. We'll have to talk about this off the air because I had a very similar response as well, leaning more toward a major no for Boston. It seemed more of like New York, Madison Square Garden, but that's coming up in November, so it's likely, as you said, January. But yes, I also had a very a close one on the Las Vegas situation, too. To your point with Dana White, soft spot for Boston, yes, that is his hometown here. He's a huge Patriots fan. We know he and Bob Kraft's relationship, too. So I could totally see something special at the show in Boston January 2019. But as far as Brock being here for the return one, that'd be awesome. Wishful thinking. Not going
to
happen.
So just to be clear, Sarge is reporting that Gillette Stadium will host a UFC fight the weekend of the AFC Championship.
In the bubble, in the Dana-Farber bubble.
They're going to build a retractable roof between now and then and put it over so that if it snows, the cage is protected.
And we'll have the pre-show over at one of the bars across the street.
So how this relates all to WWE and the Universal Championship is on Extreme Rules, Kurt Angle threatened Brock Lesnar, show up at Raw, agree to a title fight, or be stripped of the title. And I like how they worded this because it left a cliffhanger for Brock Lesnar to show up tomorrow night and have the potential of a Braun Strowman cash in on him unexpectedly. Okay. They didn't say that he's going to be there, but they said show up tomorrow night or agree to a title fight. So they could have Heyman come out and say, yes, Brock Lesnar will accept all comers and go from there, because I don't see them stripping Brock of the title. According to Meltzer, he has one date left on his contract that expires the end of August. Okay. So it could be tomorrow night where they do a cash-in with Braun Strowman. It could be they do SummerSlam, a SummerSlam match, or I think there was some local advertising for Brooklyn for the Raw after having Brock Lesnar on it.
And, you know, Jimmy, last week Raw was here in Boston, and that was 2 days after Brock made that appearance in the UFC ring there. And there was so much talk that would it be addressed on the show that night? And, you know, from what we saw in the storylines, the rumor mill and everything, Vince told everyone backstage that is not to be addressed on this show. Do not bring it up at all. That's it. So buried it. And there was a lot of people in the arena. I was there at Raw, thought that that would be mentioned at some point, but it was not. And I am so glad that Kurt Angle did bring it up tonight, because like I've said for a long time, it's an absolute disgrace if that championship belt is not defended at least once every 30 days. And, you know, I mean, you had your Intercontinental. Good for Dolph Ziggler and Seth Rollins, like I said, gives them an opportunity to, you know, maintain the spotlight there. But that championship has to be defended at least once a month. And it's good to have him back and finally get some answers here.
Well, so with relation to Brock, is Brock's a special attraction.
Right.
And I don't think that he needs the Universal Championship, the WWE Championship. No. I think if you just had him in a big fight feel consistently, I think that would do something. Mm-hmm. As it relates to where he's going to drop the championship or who he's going to drop the championship to, I wonder if seeing Bobby Lashley beat Roman Reigns is the direction that they're going. They're going with Bobby Lashley, who has the background in MMA, who's got the credentials, I guess would be a better way of saying it, to beat Brock Lesnar, especially if Brock is going to UFC in a few months. And whether we like it or not, would we rather have Bobby Lashley or Roman Reigns?
I mean, whether you like it or not, I think you're going to get... It kills me to say this, Jimmy. I think it's going to be Roman Reigns. That's what the way they're going here. But I would love to see Bobby Lashley get that opportunity. He already made it clear tonight that he is the guy. And however, though, I'm going to say right now, I think this has the writing on the wall for a SummerSlam pay-per-view to be a three-way match. Lashley, Reigns, Lesnar. Because Roman still thinks that, you know, he was the victim of the greatest Royal Rumble there. He should be the champion the way he lost. Lashley already saying he's an MMA guy, like you're saying, and, you know, he's the next guy on Raw. We'll have that addressed tomorrow, and it'll probably become official either tomorrow or next week. It will be a three-way match, or you have some sort of a fight in on Raw to determine who the number one contender will be. So I think that's the pace we're going right now, a definite three-way, maybe even throwing a four-way with Braun Strowman somehow too. But with the cash-in situation, that's more likely to happen than him being involved in a fatal four-way.
So I wonder if they canceled the six-way that was originally scheduled for tonight at Extreme Rules, and they're going to do that at SummerSlam, and they're just going to put Brock in the match.
Sure, I could see that too.
And that would make sense. I can't prove that I wrote this, but you'll have to take my word for it that I wrote that Bobby Lashley should have beaten Roman Reigns tonight and should be Brock Lesnar's next challenger because of his realistic background.
Yep.
you know,
and the size.
Yeah, the size makes sense. The background, everything kind of works for that.
Right.
I would have booked Bobby Lashley to have a more definitive win tonight over Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
In the same way that Goldberg had a definitive victory over Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. That way it's something that people don't see coming necessarily. And it also, it's a little bit credible. And I talked to Bobby Lashley a few weeks ago, and they have not had a match before, Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar. So it's a unique matchup. And I don't know that Bobby Lashley is necessarily like in with the crowd.
Right.
Like they don't believe in him. I hate using that term for a wrestling podcast. I usually use that for Celtics takes. But if you can make somebody in a short period of time, if done properly, and I don't know that Bobby Lashley is there, but maybe he's a guy who gets into it and grows with the Universal Championship in the way that sometimes the man makes the belt. Maybe the belt will make the man this time.
Right. And yeah, to your point, he might be the kind of guy that does need that belt around him. And by the way, shameless plug for Jimmy on that interview with Bobby Lashley. Yes, it is available in the archives, 985thesportshub.com podcast, Wrestling Inside the Ropes. Check it out. Very nice job on that interview there with Bobby Lashley.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and he did. He was involved in that main event with President Trump.
Yes.
WrestleMania 23 in Detroit. So, yeah, really good. And Lashley, you're right. He's, I don't know, I think
he's a credible threat on paper, Mike. Well, but the problem is that he, WWE is a promo company. And I go, well, I say this a lot, but tell me your favorite Bobby Lashley promo.
I can't think of that. However, I will say this, though. The fact that he beat Roman Reigns, who the crowd has turned on, and he's not a likable guy for the crowd because everyone's cynical and we're able to figure it out, I think that definitely helped him out tonight, winning that match there, because I definitely put him over. Roman is not going to get the fan reaction that the company wants. We know all that. So the fact that Lashley got the win there, that helps him out big time. And then if he is to go up one-on-one against Brock Lesnar, for the title, he's got a little bit of momentum on his side there with the two big monsters, two sizable figures in the ring right there. But this definitely helped his case tonight.
So there are 2 points in Roman, and one is a quicker point than the second one. The second one I really want your feedback on, Mike, is if Roman Reigns isn't the character that he is, I don't know that Braun Strowman gets over as strongly as he does.
Okay.
So in other words, when Braun Strowman was in his upward ascent, Roman was helping him in his matches and developing him. And because the crowd hated Roman so much, it got Braun over more on the good side of things, which I don't know that they necessarily intended, but they'll take anybody who can get over any way possible. But I think Roman deserves a lot of credit for getting Braun Strowman over.
I agree. He does. And, you know, I know I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but if you remember last year, that pay-per-view in July, the Great Balls of Fire, that could have been a double turn right there, that ambulance match with Reigns and Braun Strowman, but it didn't happen. Great opportunity right there. I think the last time we really saw that was WrestleMania 13, Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's the easiest one I can think of. But you're right. Reigns is that kind of guy. He can take the heat, almost kind of like a John Cena in a way. Cena took heat from the crowd so much, and yes, he is the one that puts people over, and he has done it numerous times over the years. So to his credit, he can do that. And yes, like I said, with Lashley, that helps, and Strowman too. So good for Reigns being that kind of guy, just doing what's asked of him.
So here's my follow-up point on Roman Reigns. I think he needs to get off TV, and I think he needs to get off TV now. And the way to bring him back is Seth Rollins is in a compromised position. Dean Ambrose is healthy. Roman Reigns is healthy. Then you redo the Shield. And you do the Shield reunion as it should have been done last year, and it wasn't because of injuries. And then that way you have all three of them over on the good side, and you kind of keep them all away from the Universal Championship for a little bit.
You either go that route there, which I like a lot, the Shield, be a threat to everyone else in the locker room, or if you're going to keep Roman as the singles competitor that Vince wants him to be and the top dog, you throw him over to SmackDown. You figure out a way to do that. Get him off of Raw, go up with new talent, you know, maybe him and AJ Styles, even Nakamura for all we care, Jeff Hardy. There's some good talent over there, too. Get him off of Raw if you want the singles competition. Otherwise, I am all on board for the Shield reunion, which it should have been. And they were selling merchandise like that. That was a good,
absolutely,
was a hot thing.
100%. Yeah. And I still think the WrestleMania finish in New Orleans, if everybody was healthy, should have been Brock Lesnar, triple powerbomb, Roman Reigns gets the pin. The Shield is the Universal Champion.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But there's always next year.
There is always next year in New York. Of course, we know the main event will be Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey.
You're right on that one.
So a note from Meltzer that jumped out at me in the Observer. I'll read directly, or at least attempt to, because as we know, my reading skills are less than fundamental. Fightful, whatever that is, ran a story about a WWE production document that listed Paul Heyman as a traveling Raw writer and helping put together the Roman Reigns Lashley face-to-face that started the Raw show from Boston and the later Lashley interview segment. Quote, from what we are told, Heyman was in Boston, as the story stated, but he is not on the writing team. He was there to overlook aspects of the Reigns-Lashley segments mentioned. Heyman being there to look over segments that lead to the Lesnar program makes sense, since Heyman did the same for Goldberg when he was in the program with Brock Lesnar and produced every Goldberg segment and helped write every Goldberg interview. Lashley and Heyman were close dating back to WWE developmental. I don't know how close they are now, if at all, but when Lashley was fighting in MMA, he always talked glowingly about Paul Heyman. Mike, what do you make of Paul Heyman being involved in this program?
I think that's a big thing right there. And, you know, that just opens up the avenue here for Brock and Bobby Lashley to be going at it there to kind of bridge that relationship and have them work together, which definitely the writing is on the wall there if they're going to go one-on-one. And if Brock, you know, it sounds like, you know, he's on the way out the door, you could very easily put Heyman with Bobby Lashley. I mean, look what Heyman has done for Brock Lesnar. He made him the guy. You know, he's awesome on the microphone. Lashley, you're right, Jimmy. His promos, what promo has he done? So if you're going to have this...
His best promo was actually with me.
Okay, and you put him over. Good job, Jimmy Stewart. So if Jimmy Stewart can't be out in the ring every week there for Bobby Lashley, who's the next best guy on the microphone to do it? Paul Heyman. So I could very easily see him being his next spokesman or manager after Brock Lesnar goes. Maybe he even turns on Brock and Bobby Lashley joins forces with Paul Heyman and then Brock goes into the sunset. That's it. So I like that. I think there's a lot of parallels there and so much opportunity for those two to be together.
I say it kind of in jest that Bobby Lashley's best promo with me, but when I asked him about his connection with the WWE universe, it felt like he kind of perked up and gave a really good answer that gave me a lot more information about Bobby Lashley and who he is and what he stands for. So I would like to see more of that from Bobby Lashley if he's going to be a main event player. But the thing that I like is Paul Heyman being involved in some way, shape, or form with creative and specifically main event programs.
Yep.
I'm all for that. Don't have Heyman on everything, but have him as a consultant for special projects. Of course, Brock Lesnar is a special project. But I feel like the more stuff that Paul Heyman touches, the better it is, but I don't want him touching everything.
Yeah, and you're right. To be almost kind of like a lieutenant, more or less, for Vince, or even Triple H, for that matter. You know, I mean, we know what he did with ECW over the years.
Well, I think Triple H has his own crew that will take over once Vince steps down.
Yeah.
But I think Vince should have a close-knit group of a handful of people who are advising him. You know, not as limited as just Bruce Pritchard and Pat Patterson, but a small core of like Michael Hayes, Road Dogg, Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
You know, I think you leave Triple H and NXT to do his thing. There are other names that I would throw in there that maybe people have heard of, who haven't heard of, who are creative geniuses, but we'll leave them in NXT for now because they'll be up in no time flat.
Right. It's only
I shouldn't say no time flat. I'm not wishing anything upon the McMahon family. I don't want to get...
Yeah. Well, I'm not... It'll happen. Yeah. Sooner than later.
Yes. So the other thing, well, there are a lot of other little notes as I kind of skim through my notes here. The TD Garden show scheduled for Boston, October 21st, we all thought was tables, ladders, and chairs. Mm-hmm. Now it's a WWE super show, and here's what Meltzer wrote. I say that way too much, but you know.
Well, that's he's a guy. He's the Adam Schefter.
I should use The Torch. I should use PW Insider, but I default to Meltzer because I've been a subscriber for so many years.
Yeah, just go with it.
Quote, here's from Meltzer, quote, there have been some changes made in the pay-per-view schedule. The TLC show, which was scheduled for October 21st in Boston, has been moved to December 16th in San Jose. Boo. The San Jose show was originally the Clash of Champions pay-per-view. WWE is still running Boston on October 21st with a loaded house show billed as a super show, meaning the top stars from both brands will be there. Since it was a pay-per-view day and only one city was booked for the show, it hasn't been made clear what changed this. It could be that the October pay-per-view will now be from Australia on October 6th. Mm-hmm. Not sure if that's the case because that show will be airing at 4 a.m. Eastern time on a Saturday morning. As of right now, that's the only pay-per-view date on the schedule.
Yeah.
So what was the crowd reaction like when they put on the big board, here's the passcode for October 21st. It's a super show, not tables, ladders, and chairs.
So, you know, now I was in a suite, shameless plug on that, for the Raw event last week. And the crowd I was with was, you know, these guys enjoyed the show. They really did, but they're not hardcores like you and I. They don't watch it every week. And they actually haven't been to an event. A lot of them hadn't. So when I saw that thing, like WWE is returning to Boston, I'm like, yes, here we go, pay-per-view coming. And I was telling them before that it looks like that there is going to be a pay-per-view here in October. It's going to be tables, ladders, and chairs. So I'm like, here we go, guys. Here's the announcement. Here it is. And then when they say a super show, I was like, huh? And just kind of really surprised. They didn't really care. They're like, all right, we got to come back. And they're all rowdy and excited for it. But I'm like, no, what happened? And everyone like around me in the loge area below, you could kind of hear the reaction like, what? Because I think they knew too that it was supposed to be tables, ladders, and chairs. Everybody did. It was a surprising reaction, Jimmy. It really was. For me especially, and the majority of the fans. There were a couple of boos, like a few boos that I heard. It was very strange. But the fact that it's a super show, they also didn't announce a formal time either.
7:30 is what Ticketmaster listed, 7:30. So it'll be
okay. Okay, but at the time, though, they didn't list a formal time. That's where I was holding out hope that, like, okay, maybe they'll change this. Maybe. But obviously that's not the case. Australia, they're paying top. They're getting either a lot of money or, like you said, they're paying top dollar for it. So it's going to cost the company so much more to get over there for that. Boston got robbed. They got robbed on this one. I mean, the city was supposed to have another pay per view. We've had a pay per view here for once a year since what, 2011. So that streak is now over. That's it. Is it 2011 or 2010? I think.
I don't know. I lost count of those things, but usually the Garden does four shows a year. Yep. It's Raw, SmackDown, a house show, and a pay-per-view. So I don't know how long that tradition's been, but they usually do four shows a year.
Right. So now
I will tell you, and this may sound like me being a contrarian here, and I don't intend it to, I'd rather have the house show. I love the house shows. I love live events. They're so much better. There's more crowd interaction. It feels more fun. And especially if it's going to be both brands. Like,
yes.
I wanted to go to the Madison Square Garden show over the weekend because that thing was loaded. And
Undertaker.
From everything that I read, top-notch show. And yeah, you're probably not going to get a championship title change, although they did one last summer with AJ and Kevin Owens flipping the U.S. title. But generally speaking, I like house shows. I like live events. They're fun. And... Well, there's no TV time wasting. There's no stupid little vignettes that go way too long. It's a better overall experience, I think, at least for me.
And Jimmy, you and I, we've done the VIP thing and strongly recommend anyone to do that.
100%. 100%. Yeah. Do the VIP thing.
I'll even talk to you about that off the air, too.
Yes, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, that's a great thing. But you know what, Jimmy? It was a deflating feeling. You know, just knowing that we're supposed to have the pay-per-view here, I'm like, what? A house show?
I love house shows. Don't you dare besmirch house shows.
I am fine with it. But, you know, the fact that it was supposed to be a pay-per-view, it was very like, what the hell? It was very confusing. But, you know, you get the Patriots game that day, one. Also, there's another big event at the Kowloon.
Yep, we'll get there. Don't worry.
Okay, never mind. We'll get there. Yep. All right, good.
I have a paragraph before that in my notes. Don't worry, I'm on page 10. I had to skip ahead a little bit. We're under a 30-minute time limit here. We're doing our own version of the Iron Man match and trying to get as many falls in as possible.
We're in the ballpark, but yes, and it's a great thing to go to that night there. So I'm looking forward to it October 21st. May even have a playoff game, too, for the Red Sox.
Who knows?
Right?
Who knows? In closing, I want to thank the people at Pro Wrestling Torch and ProWrestling.com. They picked up the conversation I had with Bobby Lashley the other day. It happened on shortish notice. It happened on short notice. So there's a deeper story that at some point I'll tell everybody about. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll forget about it. In fact, I probably have already forgotten all the details of it. But I have it written down somewhere in an email. Want to shout out Bruce and Conrad, Something to Wrestle podcast. They're doing a show at the Kowloon October 21st, that morning. And actually, it's funny because in my notes I have, we think it'll be WWE TLC at the TD Garden that night. Well, it won't be. It'll be a live event house show, which I don't know how that changes for them.
Yeah,
maybe it doesn't change anything like that since they already have the date booked. But I don't know. That's not my problem. But if you want tickets, you want to call the Kowloon. It's 781-233-0077. Their ticket office is open noon to 11 Eastern time. 781-233-0077. Ticket office is open from noon to 11 p.m. Eastern time. You can't go online and get tickets. You actually have to talk to a real person. Give them your credit card. VIP is going to run you like $77, $78.
Yes.
It's $75 plus a $3 fee. So there's no internet $10, $12 service fee. You're essentially paying $3 for the person to take your credit card information. And you know the person. And you've actually had a conversation with that person. And they've been really nice to you. So my advice for that day, take an Uber to the Kowloon. Enjoy some food and beverage, enjoy the show, and then take an Uber back to the garden and go to the live event and do the VIP. And if we do the VIP, say hello to us. I will even take pictures with people for free. How's that?
So wait a minute. You're not going to charge for your newborn's future college education fund? Is that what you're saying, Jimmy? Because you know what? If you haven't heard yet, James Stewart is a dad. Yes, congratulations, Jimmy. Mom and the baby are doing great. That's the rumor and innuendo. Very happy for you guys, and good to have you back, Jimmy. Congratulations.
Mike, you do diaper changing talk on your own time. We do wrestling here. We don't do personal stuff here. We do wrestling. No, seriously, Mike, thank you. That's very nice of you. That's why we're kind of on a time limit here.
We're on the time limit, and yes, Jimmy, just for the record, I am not by any chance offering to babysit or change diapers.
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't want you to touch my child.
Just letting you know. So don't get any ideas.
Oh,
right?
I'm letting you know. I would never ask you.
Thanks. Good. Same page.
Mike Riley is at Sarge985. You can follow me on Twitter at I am James Stewart. Mike, you had the open. I'll give you the close.
Sure. What the heck? Thanks for listening. And also follow us on Twitter at WrestleCast985. Until next time. Take care, everybody.
No, you're supposed to say something funny or quote a wrestler.
Okay.
Go.
Something funny. Something funny. Now drop down and give me 10, you maggots.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.